Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, December the 10th, 2020, 19 minutes past the hour. And we have got a great guest this hour who is going to discuss a myriad of topics. He is one of the most well-known political figures in the state of Arizona and certainly the United States of America. His support for President Trump has been unquestioned over the last 4 years, and he is the author of a new book, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, An American Legend. It's a pleasure to welcome to these microphones Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Sheriff, how are you?
Well, live and kicking, and thanks for your great state and what you do.
Why, well, I appreciate that, Sheriff. Want to start out here talking about the book, and we're going to talk about a whole lot of things this hour, but why this book? How did this book come about?
Well, I did two books when I was sheriff, and the first one was America's Toughest Sheriff, 2006, and the other, Joe's Law, in 2012. But this, to me, is very important. You know, I retired 4 years ago, and I've been active, and unfortunately, it's difficult to get my message out. I'm not going to blame the media, but I do in a way. So I wrote the book along with David Thomas Roberts, great guy. He's a publisher for me, and he helped me write the book. I have a foreword by my dear friend Ted Nugent, and went into many chapters that are controversial, and went into my background. One thing I've failed at throughout my 24 years as sheriff, which, by the way, is the longest in the history of Maricopa County, Arizona, is the fact I could never get my other life out, which I'm rather proud of. So put things together. It only took 5 months to do, which is very difficult because I have documentation of my whole life that I kept and maintained. So there's nothing in that book that I can't back up with facts and documentation. So I'm very comfortable with the book and what I said in the book.
So what is the other part of your life that you've had trouble getting out?
Well, it's how I grew up and my background, my bio, my resume. And the publisher said, we're going to put that bio in the back of the book, and I said, why waste the 5 pages? But he did, and I'm glad he did, because when people read my life, they get shocked. We didn't know you did this. We didn't know when you were born that your mother gave her life for you because she refused an abortion. We didn't know your mother and father came here from Italy. And then we go into my career. I graduated from high school, joined the Army, and the Korean War broke out. Just the same month, 1950. Became a cop in Washington, D.C., walked a black beat, tough beat. And then I went to Vegas for a short time, 6 months, to be a cop there. My name to fame was that I grabbed Elvis, locked him up, but I actually unlocked him up after I took him to the police station. He was going 100 miles an hour with a bomb on his motorcycle. But then I started my big career. I joined the federal government, U.S. Bureau of Narcotics in Chicago in 1957. And I married my wife, which, by the way, next week will be 63 years. Married her in Chicago, same time I became a federal agent. But then I went to Turkey, the only guy fighting drug trafficking, of boondocks of Turkey, Syria, and became regional director in Mexico for the U.S. Drug Enforcement. I can go on and on. So I had a very exciting time before I even became sheriff. Now, I had been very controversial as sheriff, and I became involved in politics because when you become sheriff, it's an elected office. And that's where I made my big mistake. When I ran for sheriff, I was 60. That's not the mistake. The mistake is I said the sheriff should be appointed and not elected. I must have been drunk on olive oil, because if I was appointed, I would have been fired the first month in office. There'd be no tent cities, no pink under, no crackdown on illegal immigration and drugs, and I can go on and on. So I made that mistake. I still got elected, but all of us elect the one law enforcement official, and that happens to be the sheriff. So I made my name publicly, being sheriff for 24 years. But when I was a director in Mexico and South America, I did deal with the media. I dealt with presidents and had some tough times, but I survived doing my job. Got double promotions, so many awards, I'm not going to get into that. So the book was necessary, and it's very exciting, and it's all true. So I took on big issues as the sheriff, going after Obama's fake birth certificate and locking up thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants. Took a lot of heat on that. They've been after me, Obama and Biden, 100 days since I took office, and I was a target. They wanted me out of office. Took them 8 years to get me on a contempt of court because some biased judge hated me, according to his wife, hated me, was going to do everything to get me out of office. And when they wouldn't give me a jury trial, when they started Obama and the court said, we're going to go after you the day before early voting started, and they got me. George Soros pumped in $3 million, and the courts and the power of organizations that all came here, including the mayor of L.A., came down here wearing shirts, arrest our pile. I can go on and on. So I lost that general election in 2016. But I'm not quiet. Yeah, I'm a big supporter of Donald Trump. I was the first one to introduce him in July of 2015. His first rally happened to be here. And I said there's a silent majority out there. It's not silent anymore. I said, you're going to be our next president. I never met the guy, but my gut told me he was something special. And then, of course, I mentioned we were born on the same day, Flag Day, June 14, and I've been with him ever since. I don't flip-flop. I don't change. When I'm with somebody, I stick with them. And when NBC interviewed me a little over a year and said, is John McCain your hero? I paused, and just by chance, 4 months prior to the question, I woke up and I said, it took me 84 years to find my hero. Oh, who's that? I said, Donald Trump. So she didn't know how to cover that one. So yeah, I'm with him to the end. So that's the way I am. I was the honorary chairman, by the way, for Arizona, for George W. Bush, for Mitt Romney, for Rick Perry. Of course, they forget your name, when you're taking a little heat. The only one that hasn't forgot my name has been President Trump. So you know how politics are, which I'm a little discouraged now after running for office. I think it must be 17 times this time around, because I ran to get my job back a few months ago, and I lost by 1%, but I found out who my friends were. They all turned on me, the establishment, all the owners of the sports team all gave big bucks to my Democrat opponent, who was sponsored by George Soros. So you can see the establishment, they call it different names, but I call it the establishment. Governors, everybody that I endorsed and took care of, they forget you when you're taking a little heat. I don't want to sound like I'm bitter, but I'm giving you the reality of political figures, especially today, where there's no loyalty, do anything on both sides of the fence to get elected or reelected. And we're living in tough times today. This book is very appropriate, because everything I'm telling you and summarizing is in that book on different chapters. So I'm very proud of the book. I stick by it, and I stick by everything I said in that book. So that's how I feel today. I'm very, as I say, active. The book, I probably have a movie, a documentary coming out soon, and claiming the lawyer. And I formed an organization, America's Sheriff, and our mission is to take care of the cops that are thrown under the bus and file lawsuits, whether it's governors or mayors, and keep fighting the battle. So that's my mission. I've been working hard, 14 hours a day. Been on doing a lot of book interviews and out there hustling and on some book tours within my own state. The virus situation has really been very difficult on many issues, including trying to sell the book on book tours.
Sheriff, I want to come back and pick up some of these issues here. In the election earlier this year, the primary, you were defeated in the Republican primary for sheriff this year, 2020. Why do you think you did not make it past the primary? You had talked about George Soros funding the Democrat, but I believe a former employee of yours at the sheriff's office in Maricopa County defeated you in the primary. What happened there?
Well, that's a good, that's a good question. I lost by 1%. He was my chief deputy. I'm not going to badmouth him. But I think I had a couple problems. One is I had my bus. I had Donald Trump on my picture on it, and I had been hitting the streets in hot weather, 116 degrees, no mask, meeting the people. Of course, that was somewhat difficult because there weren't that many people on the streets to meet. But I did it, and I never should have lost that primary. Of course, they went after me, the big boys, owners of the Cardinals and all these teams, each gave $12,000 to my Democrat, who really wasn't my opponent, but they looked at me as the opponent. No, they were very shocked that I lost the primary, but that's strange that I lost the primary. But I had two things against me. One was my age. They kept throwing my age around, and I'm talking about the Republican primary. And number two, I couldn't get my message out that I was running again. The local media made me irrelevant. I'm not used to being in headlines every day when I went to the toilet. It was bad stuff for 24 years. So I had these problems against me because I know I would have won the general election, and they knew it, so they tried everything to get my opponent elected so they could have an easy ride, which they did. My opponent in the primary lost by 250,000 votes, almost 13%. He got slaughtered. They knew that I would have won the general election. They knew that Donald Trump would be in my corner. They knew that millions of dollars would be pumped into my race. because look what they did when I lost in 2016. They pumped in $3 million to take care of the opponent. And I beat him the first time. Nobody talks about that. That was the second time that I lost. I had too much going against me. But it isn't because they all hate me, the Republicans. They like me to this. I'm more popular now than when I was a sheriff. But I think they looked at the age. Well, he's 88 years old. He ought to enjoy his wife, Ava, for the rest of his life. And I think that was and then they didn't know I was running. So many people said, we didn't know you were running. So I think those were the two big issues. Plus, my controversy with the illegal immigration fight that I did, plus how I ran the jails and lawsuits, which I'm not going to argue because I'll put my tenure of 24 years against any law enforcement agency, including all the lawsuits that they get. So we ran a great organization, but I had these problems.
Sheriff, when we look at Arizona, it's interesting because since 1952 presidential elections, the Democrat has only won twice since 1952, nearly 70 years. Bill Clinton won in 1996 over Bob Dole, and this year Joe Biden defeated President Trump. What's happening in Arizona that in 2020 Joe Biden, the Democrat, was able to defeat the Republican Donald Trump, which has only happened twice since 1952?
Well, let's go back to Bill Clinton, when he won. And by the way, nobody will talk about it. I almost got as much votes as he did. And I was running county, not state. I think he beat me by 1,000 votes. I wasn't running statewide. He was. So I'm pretty proud of that. That shows you how popular I was during the years and why all the people running for president would knock on my door or governor want my endorsement. But I don't know what happened this time around. I do know there's a big influx of people. When I ran for sheriff, the county was like 1.5 million. Now it's the third largest in the country. So things have changed in Maricopa County, Arizona, and I lived through all that big change. And maybe that change finally got to me with all these people moving in. Now, I didn't have a problem with name ID because I was always on national media. Everybody in the country, in the world, by the way, knows who I am. But it caught up with me. And we still won a lot of Republican offices here. Lost the president's race. But all of the other Republicans got reelected. So I don't know what happened with Donald Trump's situation. I was for him, and I always will be for him. But he allegedly lost by 15,000 votes. There's a question about those 15,000 votes, and there's a question about when I lost in 2016. How did I lose? Yeah, but they brought everybody here from California, bust them in, demonstrations against me. I think I just ran by the problems I had. So this time around, things have changed a little. The media, very vicious. When they want to get rid of somebody, they got the power of the ink and the voice. Very powerful, the media is. Donald Trump allegedly lost Arizona. I don't know what's happening in the courts now. It looks like all these judges, automatically you mentioned Trump and they're going to rule against him. So it's the dynamics of the state is changing. We can't argue that. A lot of people from California coming here. Not saying they're all bad people, but they're sure a lot of them bringing their own ideas. A lot of them are Democrats. But I have to say, once again, having dealt with the media for almost 55 years, I understand the power of the media. And I think that hurt the president because everybody endorsed Biden. McCain's wife, I'm not going to get into that. I think it's in my book. But they all turned, and they endorsed Biden. A lot of Republicans went south and flipped on Trump and endorsed Biden. This isn't because they all love Biden. They hated Trump. You probably could have ran for president and get elected.
Well,
so that's the way it was. It was after Donald Trump.
Well, it's an interesting question, Sheriff, and certainly your support of President Trump has been strong for the past 4 years. But when we look at this, since the 1970s, we've only had two one-term presidents up until now, Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, and for the first time in nearly 30 years, now Donald Trump. I think many people have said it was not that they liked Biden, it was just what you said, they hated Trump. Why did the country hate the president so much that he would become a one-term president, in your opinion?
Well, they didn't hate him that much when he got, Biden got 97 million votes, and Donald Trump got, 6 million less, which still put him number two in history. He still got, no one else got as many votes as Donald Trump did, other than Biden, if you want to say that they were all legitimate. So I think Donald Trump, and I know him pretty well. I think that when he came into office, number one, he kept his promises, and he did what he thought was right, and he did a great job. When you look at the economy and everything else, did a great job. He had his style of campaigning and governing, but he did pretty great. He did a great job. So why would they vote him out of office? Well, I think there was a lot of power. I still say that a lot of Republicans went south on him, turned on him. And of course, a lot of them are sticking with him. But they stick with him because he's very high in the polling and on the Republican side. If he was down, way down, they'd all be throwing him under the bus, which is unfortunate, but I guess that's politics. But he's a great guy, great person.
Sheriff, you have lost elections, you've lost primaries, and we've went through some of that here on the program. Why do you think President Trump is having such a hard time accepting this election defeat?
That's a good question. Well, maybe you ought to translate that into me. Why am I still fighting? I don't like losing. I'm a fighter. Now, I don't mind losing if I know that I deserve to lose. But when you feel that they went after you, you're going to fight back. That's what he's doing. He's fighting back. He never should have lost that election. I never should have lost my election. So what do you do? Now, he has a lot of money. What do I have? You know, I'm retired. Not making that much money, so do I just go fishing? That's not who I am. I'm fighting back. I'm 88 years old, and I'm out there 14 hours a day, fighting back in my own way, and it's very successful. And he's fighting back. Why would you surrender when you know that you got screwed up? When you know they went after you? When you know that the people that were supposed to be your allies or your friends turned on you? So people say I'm him. Yeah, I guess I am in a way, because every time I introduce him in rallies, he's the only presidential candidate. And don't forget, I was the chairman, as I said, for Bush, Mitt Romney, Rick Perry. But they never asked me. He never told me, ask me, say this, don't say that. So when I introduce him, I have to wing it. I don't know if I'm saying the right thing, but 95% of what I said is right in line with him. So we have the same type of, there's something between our two brains or something. But personally, too, I'm not going to talk about the pardon. I didn't ask for it, but he knew how bad it was, what a witch hunt it was a misdemeanor. Same as a barking dog. Took them 8 years to get me on a misdemeanor, nothing, just to get rid of me. And who is they? It's Obama and Biden. They started this. I'm not going to get into all the lawyers and all the sexy things that happen on the birth certificate that's bigger than just the birth certificate. I say it in the book. I say it about the law firm that went after me on a pardon. The same law firm delivered the money to Hillary Clinton to give to Steele. Same law firm that joined Soros with all the money to get rid of me. Same law firm that went to Hawaii, pick up a certain document, and delivered it to Washington. So you can see my connection on that one. And when you talk about the trial, the so-called racial profile, you'll see a lot of hooks in there that pertains to me. So it's very interesting. But nobody will talk about the birth certificate. To this day, I cannot understand. And I don't know if I ever will get the real story as to why the media, government officials, politicians, the whole world will never talk about that fake birth certificate. And in political circles, when I've been running all this time, everybody told me, especially so-called Republican consultants, do not talk about the birth certificate. Don't talk about it. What do you mean, don't talk about it? I know what they're trying to say, throwing the racial connotation in there, but I think it was bigger than that. They wanted me out of office, not because of the immigration fight, which everybody feels that's why I got beat. I think it's because they wanted me out. I wouldn't have a gun and badge anymore. They know I got the goods on that birth certificate. So I'm not ashamed to talk about it. I got a whole chapter on that. And when you read that chapter, I just went by some of the actors in it and told you the big picture. So I just can't understand, though, why, how they could put this thing, the media especially, how they would not cover this story.
Sheriff, do you think, and as you said there, people told you not to talk about the birth certificate and because of a racial idea, do you think one of the reasons that this is a problem for a lot of people, no matter how people feel about the birth certificate, people have strong feelings both ways, obviously you have your opinion, people who support Obama, news people have their opinion. But that, you know, we had 44 presidents up through President Obama, and nobody ever questioned the 43 previous birth certificates of the president, and they were all Caucasian men. And the first time we have a non-Caucasian man as president, that's the first time we ever question a birth certificate. Do you think that's the problem?
Well, that's a good question. My answer to that is I don't think in all those former presidents anybody came up with evidence that they may have not been born here. Now, I don't care where Obama was born. I said it from day one. I had people come up to me and beg me to start an investigation on a phony document. I don't care about all the other stuff. I'm just going after someone that may have a fake government document. I locked up thousands and thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants, and a high percentage had a fake document, Social Security license. They all went to jail. That's a felony. So why do I have this great information? I proved it beyond a shadow of a doubt of another guy that had a fake government document. That's all I care about, not all the other garbage they throw in. So I don't understand. Maybe we should give a pass to anybody that has a fake government document. The point is, I've been in law enforcement 58 years. I proved myself all over the world as a top official. And I come up with an investigation that I was asked to do, and I look at it, come up with my results with forensic scientists in Italy and Hawaii because I didn't leave any stone unturned there. And when I have this information, probable cause, a smoking gun, it's actually a smoking cannon, I can't get any law enforcement agency to say, Sheriff, can we see your report? Please show it to us. That's the big question. I'm not some flunky guy. I got credibility, and everybody knows it. That's why they can't go. They're afraid to go after me too much. So that's the question. I don't care. All I wanted now is too late to charge him, I guess. But all I want is when somebody runs for president, check him out. Check him out. Why didn't they check Obama out?
We're chatting.
When he ran. So I don't understand why the cover-up is so big. But I got my ideas, and you kind of mentioned the racial part. Now, the question I have, if they did look at it, and it was a fake government document, I presume the next step would be, where is the birth certificate? And when I opened up my investigation, I said, I'm here to protect and defend President Obama by doing this. Just show me the birth certificate. Where is the birth certificate? So what if he was not born here? I don't know. What would happen? Would all the treaties be canceled? I mean, what would happen? I don't think that would never have happened in our history. What do you do with that? That could be another reason, not just the racial, so-called racial reason.
We are chatting. I do want to let the audience know we are chatting with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. The book is An American Legend. We have about 15 minutes left with the sheriff here. And, Sheriff, there are some things I want to touch on in 15 minutes. COVID-19, that has been the talk of the year. You mentioned how it's hurt book tours, the way people have campaigned. A lot of things have changed because of this. You mentioned you're a man, 88 years of age. This is worse for people who are older, is what we've been told. What do you make of the pandemic?
Well, I have my own sneaky ideas, and it's a tough one to answer. I'm out there. Been out there. Still out there. I'm 88, going on 89. I'm okay. I've been in the hospital one time in my life. Never been in the hospital overnight, except when I fell and hit my arm and my security dumped me in the hospital. So I spent one night in my whole life in a hospital. So I don't know. I just work hard, take some risk. But on this issue, first of all, I'll tell you one thing that everybody knows, that they don't, they must have been on Mars or somewhere. It's a political situation, too. They wanted to get Donald Trump, and they used this situation, and I'm not going to get into the medical part of it, what it really is. Actually, I would like to see a statistic now on how many people died today over flu. Why aren't they showing how many people, forget the auto accident, I'm talking about flu. Why don't they put it out, this how many people have died because of the flu, not because of the virus? But I have my ideas how they build up these statistics. I would like to see an autopsy on everybody that passed away, whether it really was the virus or cancer or what have you. But from day one, the president took this on. He did a great job. The vaccine is here, and I will predict that in about four, which I hope I'm right, 4 or 5 months, all this is going to go away. Because don't forget the heat I took in 2009 when I went public. I interviewed some illegal immigrants in my tent city jail because there was a problem with the swine flu. I wanted to know what part of Mexico. And I did find out a lot of people died in Mexico, and that's where this started. This is under Obama when they first took office. It's strange that when I went public, that's the time that they went after me on that 100 days or whatever it was they did, but that was just prior to that. But that just enhanced them to get me, take me down when I went public on that. That's the same year my phones were tapped. That's the same year they really went after me on so-called racial profile.
Sheriff,
that was an important year for me. That's the same year I had a photo with Trump. With Obama.
Yep.
That's the same year I had a photo with and talked to Biden. Of course, I never had any Secret Service, anybody ever tell me that they lost the photo. But it's interesting, on Biden, all at once, we lost the photo. Yeah, I'll tell you why. He met with me, shook hands with me, had the photo, but nobody told him that he was investigating me. He probably forgot. So naturally, they're not going to put me with him on a photo if he's investigating me.
Sheriff,
I can go into all this type of thing.
Yeah, what,
remember the swine flu. 60 million people got sick. Where was all the uproar? And this is under Obama. I didn't see the uproar. Look what they did with Trump from day one on this issue that's current now. So you can understand the politics of this. And it's sad that people have lost their lives. I understand that. But don't blame the president for that. Blame China or other people. Why do they zero in on a president all the time?
Well, Sheriff, do you think one of the reasons that might have happened was because in the beginning the president wanted to open the country back up by Easter and said at one point that this was something that the Democrats had come up with, and then as it progressed, he ended up in the hospital with it. I can't remember the last time a president ended up in the hospital. I think it was Reagan when he was shot. The First Lady was diagnosed with it. Rudy Giuliani's in the hospital right now, the president's lawyer with it. And the president's son was also diagnosed with it, and many other people at the White House. That didn't happen with the swine flu or any other illness that I'm aware of.
Well, first of all, this president is very accessible every day. He's got visitors at the White House. I don't care who they are, every day, every rally, he goes out in front of thousands and thousands of people, and he meets people. He's a president that meets with everybody. These other presidents don't do that. They're confined to the White House and so on, but not this president. He's out everywhere. So maybe that might be one reason he came down with it. You can't blame him. I think he did some boycotts from the beginning on China. But you know what? Maybe he knows something that we don't know. I know him very, very well. I'm wondering if he has something up his sleeve right now. And I understand why he would be angry. He's taking heat when he doesn't deserve it. And he knows the true story. But maybe there's too much against him, especially the media and these political figures, including Republicans, that won't put it out. They want to get rid of this president. It'll do anything to get rid of him. So that's the way I feel as far as the medical part. Let's see what really happens when this thing is resolved in 3-4 months. And I hope it is with the vaccine. But someday I'd like to know the real story behind this sickness.
We're chatting with Sheriff Joe Arpaio here. The new book is An American Legend. We have about 5 minutes left. Sheriff, I don't want to get into the pardon that you received in 2017. I just want to ask you this, because the most famous pardon that was ever given to this point, I think, was the pardon given to former President Richard Nixon by President Gerald Ford. And when President Ford was asked later on, after his presidency, why he did that, because there was all this talk that there was a deal that he would become president, Ford said the reason he did it was because the offer of a pardon is an imputation of guilt, but the acceptance of a pardon is a confession of guilt. And I believe that refers back to a case, I believe a verdict case, that had been decided on a pardon. When you received your pardon, did you feel it was a confession of guilt, as Gerald Ford said?
No. First of all, I didn't ask for the pardon. He knew what a witch hunt this was. He knew it. Had nothing to do with the politics. And he issued the pardon. And by the way, I'm the first one he pardoned. And he knew it was the right thing to do. I didn't, it was no jury, and I mean, I'm not going to get in all the details of this miscarriage of justice. And you'd be shocked how I was treated by the federal judge. And so he issued a pardon. Now, when they called me, the White House called me, said, do you agree to take the pardon? I paused. I said, yeah, it'd be an honor to take the pardon. I'm not going to take it, turn it down when here's a president that really believes in me and believes I got, you know, they went after me. Now, deep down, I'm not going to lie. I didn't deserve what happened to me. I'm not guilty. Everybody says, well, you got to be guilty. No, there's nothing in the president can pardon anybody. Don't give me this. Oh, it's not legitimate if you don't plead guilty. And plead guilty. The judge didn't even call me to court to tell me she convicted me. I had to hear it on the radio. I was never fingerprinted and all that. It's a misdemeanor because some judge hated me, and I'm not going to get into what his wife said and his conflict with his law firm and all that garbage. So am I going to say I'm guilty when I feel that I'm not? So let him go after me for that. He gave me a pardon because he knew I wasn't guilty. So
but
there's
Sheriff,
nothing that says he can't do that.
No, the president can do that, absolutely, and he did. But as a man who spent his life in law enforcement, when you have charged people with things that they went to court for, I would guess that you thought they were guilty, or why else would you have charged them? If they go to court and somebody would intervene, the court system, and say, well, forget the trial, forget the verdict, this person is not going to face any consequences, which is essentially what a pardon is. Would you have liked that?
Well, first of all, you know, I lock them up, and I don't, whether they're murderers or what in my life, and if they want to let them all out, that's their problem. My job is to lock them up, get the evidence. I don't take it personally if they're cut loose in that way. I locked up too many people. I'd be worrying every day. So, but this is a little different. This is a little different. I was doing my job, and I got reelected over the longest sheriff in history, 24 years. Evidently, the people supported me, and he knew that I had the people behind me, the people that put me in office. They're my bosses, the people. Not the president. He's not my boss. I report to the people. He knew that. He knew how they messed me around, the courts. So he gave me a pardon. But I'm not going to go out and say I'm guilty. And I said I'm not guilty. I appreciate the pardon. I think it was a nice honor to get the president of the United States give you a pardon. But I'm not the guy that served time. I didn't serve any time. I was convicted, but I was never sentenced. Nobody gave me any time.
Sheriff.
So
we just got a couple minutes left here. I want to get a couple questions in here. How do you think President Biden will do when he takes office on January 20th?
Well, you know, I lived through 8 years with him. He was a vice president. I testified before him in 1983 in Washington before his Judiciary Committee. He really liked what I did. He appreciated it and all that. Seems to be a nice guy, but I'm a little concerned with the cabinet they're appointed. They're going a little overboard here. It's going to be the same as Obama running the shop. But I got along with him all right for 8 years. I survived, other than that Mickey Mouse contempt of court charge.
Let me.
But I worry. I worry about where our country is going.
That's why
we have to get Donald Trump in there now. Now, one thing I hope he does, I hope he announces for re-election, not 3 years from now, right away, and get that job back. That's what I want him to do. Is keep fighting, run for president, and I'll tell you one thing, Biden and his crew, they're going to be very, very scared if he does that.
Let me ask you this.
It's a great country, greatest country in the world. And we're going to survive. I don't care who the president is and so on. It's still a great country. So I always have confidence how we go through different cycles. We're tough, and we will survive.
Two quick questions here, Sheriff, because I know you're very candid, and as I said, your support of Donald Trump has been unwavering. But what you just said there about Biden, I mean, you seem to feel okay with him. Had he not been running against President Trump, who obviously you support, could there have ever been a circumstance where Biden would have been somebody you would have voted for, possibly if Trump was not the Republican, if it was Romney, if it was W. Bush, somebody else? Could you ever in your life see voting for a Democrat for president or Joe Biden?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question. I guess with my age, you figure, geez, but should I go back when I was 21 or so on, say, would I have voted for John Kennedy and so on? You know, I like John Kennedy. I'm from Massachusetts. Lyndon Johnson, I used to go to the White House when he was, but that's when I was a bureaucrat. I was a federal guy. These were my bosses, technically. But to be an elected official and reporting to the people is different. I do what the people want me to do. And if I don't like what they do, if they're all endorsing somebody else, that's not going to change. So I don't know about Biden, whether in my lifetime I would ever have supported him. It all depends how he does and if he's for our country and wants to fight for the people. Maybe. I'm not going to say never in life, but I'm a Republican. I'm proud of being a Republican, although I have a lot of issues now with the Republican Party. I don't like it when they go after the president. And so I got issues with the Republican Party, to be honest with you.
Final question, Sheriff, because we're down to the final minute, and I appreciate the time, and I know you, candidness, you will appreciate this question. And again, I want to let people know the new book is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, An American Legend. Sheriff, you have said it from the beginning. You are seen as a controversial figure. It has hurt you in some ways, has helped you in others. But for the people who call you racist, for the people who call you on illegal immigration, that you're against immigrants, illegal or legal, that people see you as this divisive man who has a problem with brown-skinned people. For those people who see you that way, what do you say to them?
Well, I must have a big problem since I have a grandkid who's black and I have a grandkid who's Mexican, so I guess I really got a big problem, right? I don't care. They can call me whatever they want. When they can't get you on anything else, you're a racist. And I don't care. Let them do it. I know what I am. I know all the people I work with all over the world, foreign people. And we got a long grace, so they can do what they want with me. That's just an example. When they try to take you down, they'll do anything in their power, I'm happy. Boy, I love demonstrators. I love them to come after me. That means I'm doing something. So I don't care. Let them call me whatever they want.
Sheriff, I appreciate the time. The book is out. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, an American legend. It's been a pleasure to speak with you, Sheriff, and I hope you stay well.
Yeah, you can get that from Amazon.
Amazon. Anyway. There we go. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So for all those who feel we are a liberal station, Sheriff Joe Arpaio was the guest. Glenn Coble coming up around the corner. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Age 44 of Marion passed away in her home on December 1st. She is survived by her fiancé, aunt, and brother. Services will be held at a later date. You may leave it online. CremationServicesOhio.com.